best thing about being a teen girl is getting to have a cowgirl summer. Oh, this is the Pure Boys, a Christian podcast, but God told us to change. Oh, so for the summer we're watching cowgirl flicks. Oh, get in the action, feel the attraction. Horses and teens, oh, what a dream. Oh, I wanna be free, yeah, free to ride some horses.
Man, I feel like a cowgirl.
This is our summer theme song.
Yahweh, Chow Fudge Packers, welcome to Pure Boys Podcast. Cowgirl Summer 2, why not? I'm Adam, and Urine.
And Urine. You might as well call me Tap today, because I am the meanest, leanest, evilest man in the cowboy community.
Wow, you've got the leanest, cleanest penis out of anyone on this show.
I'm also Steve. Don't get it twisted.
Of course not. Don't call him Tap. His name is Steve. We're not changing our names. That's ridiculous. Why would anyone change their name? Just leave your name as it is. It's perfect.
No, my name is my name, but my essence is definitely in Tap zone right now.
Fair enough. Yeah, well, if you're Tap, then I'm a real Lenny. A.K.A. your granddaughter, I guess, or something.
Yeah, you're my granddaughter for sure. Mm-hmm. Let the record show.
Because this week we're talking about 2016's Hallmark original JL Family Ranch, which, I can't wait to see how many of these Family Ranch movies there are going to be, because my guess is more than one.
I'm going to have to guess human existence doesn't exist anymore.
Oh yeah, they call it the JL Family Ranch, but it should be called the JV Family Ranch, because this movie stars our favorite Jonathan Voight back again. This movie has a lot of like Pure Boys all stars in it.
Oh, they come in all stars, and I couldn't wait to see John Voight on screen, and he just brought a presence this movie that I absolutely loved. It's almost the same movie, but completely different, because it's got that Hallmark stamp of approval.
Is this our first Hallmark movie?
I think so, officially. I have to think that maybe one of those food movies was on the Hallmark channel at some point, but I don't think it's legit.
I mean, Food to Fork to Butt to Mouth to Love, I don't think was technically a Hallmark movie, but it had all the hallmarks of a Hallmark movie, I'll thank you.
You're welcome. And I also agree.
Mm-hmm. But before we get into JL Family Ranch, the J-Off Family Ranch, we gotta get to the Pure Boys Prayer.
God bless our podcast, please. God bless all podcasts, please. We love you, please.
Amen. Or a woman.
Amen.
Or a woman.
Definitely. I'm so glad that we added please to the Pure Boys prayer. With a prayer, you don't really like change. You don't want to change it up too much because you want to consistently pray to God the same way your entire life. But right. I think that's an addition he'll like.
I agree.
Or
she. Or she, yeah. But he. God is... if there's one thing that God loves, it's consistency. But also subservience. So, and just by getting down on your knees and begging God in prayer to bless you and bless all podcasts and that we love you, but throwing please in there, God's just really going to appreciate that and go like, yeah, you are my servants. You should be worshiping me. You're the dirt under my toenail. That's who you are, humanity. And you finally recognize your place as such.
He's allowed to be fickle. Humanity is not. You got to give it up to him, and you got to give it up to him in the right way.
Exactly. Sometimes God's just like, you know what? I'm just going to flood the world and kill everybody. I'm just tired of this batch of people. It's time for a fresh batch. You know, much like Gremlins 2, I need a new batch. And so you got to just wash the world away clean, start fresh. He's a fickle God. He's a fickle dude. Or do dad.
I love how that's your religious anchor is the flood story. That really grounds you into what you feel Christianity is, I think.
I mean, it truly says everything you need to know about God. He made a world. He gave people all this autonomy and was like, here's all the stuff you can do. And then one day he went, I don't like it. I regret it. It's time to get a fresh start. New batch. Gremlins 2.
Which almost humanizes them more than any other story, really. Because what's more human than wanting to have a fresh start?
Yeah. Who hasn't built a house in The Sims and then gone, I don't like how this is developing. I need to just, like, start fresh. New batch. Gremlins 2. Make a new house.
But you use fake fire. Can you use a flood in Sims? That would be really cool.
I mean, you can drown them in pools. That's kind of the same thing.
I would like a Christian video game that's basically Noah's Ark, where you get to build your own ark, and then a flood comes, and it's a feast for the eyes, because water detail on video games is absolutely beautiful.
Oh, my God. The cell shading they can do now, and the ray tracing, and the other terms. Oh, so many other terms you could use to describe water technology.
I honestly think it's just all ray tracing now. That's all I hear, so that's got to be all it is.
I think you're right. All video games are just, I mean, pretty soon we're going to get ray tracing the video game, and I can't wait to meet the man named Ray Tracing. What a life that man must have.
It's probably John Voight.
Ah, it's not Ray Liotta. He's dead. But rest in peace, King. We love you. We miss you every day.
Yes, and we'll never watch Wild Hogs again.
No. Is he in Wild Hogs? Is he the villain?
He is the Wild Hog, right. Evil man.
Right, he's the evil
man. Evil man.
Hey, what are you drinking this week, big fella?
I am drinking the exact same thing as last week because there was no more drinking of this bottle. I am drinking 750 plus awards won by Behringer.
Wow.
Behringer, Main and Vine, White Zinfandel.
Last week you asked if that was a gun name, but I think you're thinking of a Derringer.
Yeah, it's close.
It's close. It's those letters are kissing cousins.
Exactly. I don't think I'm off to left field. I don't think you need to shackle me up and take me to the loony bin.
No.
But I also wasn't correct. So I was somewhere in the between that.
Somewhere in the between that, for sure. This week, I'm drinking a beautiful Peller Family Vineyards Cabernet Sauvignon. Over 50
what year?
Years. I don't know. It doesn't say. It's in a box. So I don't know when they put this in a bag.
Yeah, when they put it in a bag. It has to say.
Well, it doesn't. I can't find that information quickly. But I did see that it contains sulfates. It does the only ingredient on here says sulfates. So I guess that's what I'm drinking this week.
That's all you need, really. Mine is a beautiful 2020 vintage. The grapes from that year were absolutely delightful and very sugary.
Well, I wager this is probably a 2022 vintage then. Because I bought it from the shelf in the liquor store.
Absolutely fresh and delightful. Nobody can turn themselves down from a 2022 vintage, even though the grapes would be growing now.
Yeah, maybe it's 2021 then. We'll say 2021. I'm not a wine man. I don't know for sure. But hey, before you have that sip, cheers and why not?
Why not to you as well, Adam? Pause for drinking effect. You went for it, but then you had to stop halfway.
Well, I drank most of it. Oh, don't. I'll be surprised.
I know, like, enjoy the wine. This is why not.
Why not?
Wine was not meant to be chugged. I am drinking sugary, chuggable wine and could do it, but I refuse because I got class.
You should butt chug that wine.
I don't have the proper funnels. Do you have a funnel in your place that you could use to put in your butt?
No, we use paper funnels that we made out of paper, so that wouldn't really work as well. It's good for pouring spice into, like, spice jars, but it's not good for, melange. It's not good for pouring alcohol into your butt. That's the downside on it. That's the biggest downside to that paper funnel.
We do have a lot of piping bags in my place, so I could technically use a piping bag to funnel something into my butt, but I feel like it would have to be a little thicker than, you know, your average beer or wine, maybe like a spiked eggnog.
Oh, I thought you meant like the funnel has to be thicker because you got such a loose caboose.
No, the liquid for sure. The funnel, I mean, a piping bag is loose as all get out, so you need a thicker liquid.
I see what you're saying. You need to put syrup in there or something like that. A simple syrup.
Yeah, some kind of spiked syrup or eggnog or cream.
Mike's Hard Syrup, I think, is what they sell now.
Mike's Hard Iced tea is back, and it used to be one of my favorite drinks, and I'm very excited about it.
Didn't know it went anywhere. I'm glad to hear it's back. Didn't know it existed until now, but makes sense. That seems like the logical next step for the Mike's brand.
Yeah, I sent them a lot of emails. They're probably responding to my threads, and here we are now.
Oh, my belly is so warm right now. Oh, that wine just oozed
right
into
through
me. Yeah. Well, I'm on my second glass, so why not? Am I right?
Well, I would go a little slower, but
hey man,
that's not what wine is to you.
That's not what Wine Not is about. Wine Not is about chugging your first glass and then enjoying your second glass, because you got to get a buzz on for the episode. Otherwise, you're not going to be buzzed till the very end. You get a buzz on at the start, you buzz the whole time, baby.
Where are you most comfortable in your place?
Probably right. Well, I have an easy chair in my office, and that's probably where I'm most comfortable.
So not the bathtub.
No, not the bathtub. No. We do have a very large, nice, comfortable bathtub, but it's too big. I mean, if that's a thing that you can complain about and not be hated by everyone, it's very big, and it's not designed to be very comfortable. It's just big.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I do hate you for saying it.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, I didn't ask for the bathtub. I didn't ask for it to be that big. It's nice, but it's just a little... It's not... You know, it's too big that you can't sit on the side, put your arms up on it, or... Nothing like that.
Have you ever thought about putting like squishy rubber bits on the side to like protrude out and kind of hug you?
What do you mean, like?
Well, you
have some Jimmy hats, like blow up some Jimmy hats and put them on the side.
I was more thinking like novelty fake boobs you could line your bathtub with, and, like sit in that.
Brother, if you knew how many times I thought about putting novelty fake boobs anywhere in my house, then you'd know the answer to that.
Yeah, I'd be handcuffed.
Well. Before we get into how many fake boobs I have in my house, I need to ask you a very important question. Maybe one of the most important questions that we ask on this show. And that is, of course, that Steve, whomst was the Bagger Vance of Orphan Horse?
Orphan Horse had so many Bagger Vances. It was hard to even watch the movie because I was like, that's a Bagger Vance. That's a Bagger Vance. That's a Bagger Vance. But... at the end of the day, isn't Why Not about John Voight? And isn't John Voight about Bagger Vance? So he is my Bagger Vance of that movie we watched. Now, Adam.
Yes, Steve.
Whoops, do you think was the Bagger Vance of Orphan Horse?
Well, thank you so much, Steve. For me, the Bagger Vance, Why Not? Of Orphan Horse was, of course. Probably the wolves that John Voight wanted to murder. He really wanted to murder those wolves, like, really bad. And without the wolves, the story would not have moved forward the way it was. The horse wouldn't have become an orphan, and then there wouldn't have been two orphans. We would not have had the titular orphan horse. So those wolves really set the story in motion and provided us with the orphan horse we needed to watch a movie about an orphan horse. That's good, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you really know what Bagger Vance is all about.
Well, I've never seen it. I'm only going based on a feeling. But much like the Black Eyed Peas said, I've got a feeling. And also, I'm a...
And?
Well, you know, tonight's going to be a good night.
Did the Black Eyed Peas expand on that? Like, why it was going to be a good night?
I don't think so. I think it was more just like, because they're going to get turnt.
I guess that's a reason enough. I mean, we're going to get turned right now, and we're going to have a fun time talking about this movie.
Exactly. They also made a song called Let's Get Retarded, so I don't know. They had a lot of things that they were...
Definitely bleep that.
Yeah, we definitely. 100% going to bleep that. Not appropriate. Not
Mark the time.
Yeah.
Because that needs to be bleeped in the right way.
I'll go back and... Don't worry. I always go back and edit the episodes. I'll edit out all this stuff. Don't you even worry. Are you...
No,
ready?
Edit it in, but like, beep out the Ted part or something.
Good call, yeah. Are you ready for everyone's favorite segment of the week?
I don't know.
The Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week.
Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week. He pushed this out at 2:31 p.m.
Oof.
On May 24th, 2022.
Oof. Are you
Twitter
sick?
For iPhone.
Are you sick, Kevin? You sound sick tweeting that late, dumping that late. Ugh.
This might even be a continuation dump. We don't know how long he's been on the toilet. Certainly didn't have lunch. We're worried about you, Kev.
We're worried about you. Get your bowels right. Take your Metamucil. You're an old man, please.
But he's planning things, and the tweet today, I've decided since there are all these new ministries being formed, I should create my own. I'm calling it the Ministry of Revenge. Who would like to join? Question mark.
Is that a screenshot or is that the actual tweet? Like, can you look at the replies on that tweet? Is anyone down to clown with him?
Yeah, there's a couple of down to clowners. It's an actual text. This is not a retweet. The first couple of replies are Kevin Sorbet. So, like, and then a couple of I'm ins, and then a couple of Kevin Sorbets, and
the
rest.
It's people tweeting at him, Kevin Sorbet.
Yeah, a couple. There's two at least that said Kevin Sorbet. There is show more replies, so let's see how
many. Why is that a thing? I love it, though. Kevin Sorbet, that's beautiful.
I think it's because they see him as a beta cuck when he's posturing as an alpha.
Well, he is an alpha. He's a lone wolf. And he looks in the mirror, and what does he see? A lone wolf there staring back at me.
No beta could ever come up with California. That's just too hard-hitting and right-wing.
The Ministry of Revenge.
Yeah. What do you think it's revenge against?
Probably the Sith.
The nerds?
Yeah. Well, hey, we both went different directions, but yeah. Same wheelhouse, though, yeah.
Yeah, same movie ideas.
Same
flippant bullcrap.
Same poetry, it rhymes, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kevin, great tweet as always. I hope that you get your guts sorted out because, man, that's too late to be taking a dump in the middle of the day. Unless, like, maybe he ate some, maybe Sam put a little bit of glass in his lunch and it kind of went right through him and he was just like, ooh, I gotta push this one out. Maybe the Ministry of Revenge is against Sam for all the bad lunches she's been making for him.
Could be. I was going to maybe use revenge against his bowels for making him poop for too long.
Hey, a Montezuma's revenge, if you will.
Exactly. We don't know what your revenge is against Kevin Sorbo, but we hope you find it, and we love you.
We hope you find it. Yeah, whatever it is, we hope you find it. Whatever's going to make you happy, Kev, we hope you find it, because, God, you really seem like an unhappy person. But I love you.
Yeah.
I love you, please.
I'd be that unhappy, too, if I was on the toilet for as many times as he is during lunch.
Oh, yeah, I'd be that unhappy, too, if I was married to Sam Sorbo. Clearly, he's
unhappy. Yeah, Samantha Sorbo could just be Sam Sorbo. I don't know.
Oh, I think her Twitter handle's Sam Sorbo, if I remember correctly.
Sam Sorbo, we love you. We love every interview.
We love you, Sam Sorbo, yeah. We know you like the back of our hand. You know, we talked about doing the John Voight tweet of the week for Cowgirl Summer, too. Why not? But unfortunately, I looked into it, and John Voight doesn't tweet. He just tweets videos of him talking. So we're not going to take the time to transcribe those videos and then read those transcriptions. So unfortunately, we can't do the John Voight tweet of the week. So for anyone expecting it, we're so sorry. It's going to have to stick with Kevlar.
Now, if you want a good idea for voicemail, maybe go onto his Twitter, transcribe it your own damn self. And then leave that as a voicemail for us. That'll get you popular with our crew, everybody involved with Pure Boys, mm-hmm. and you'll be one of us.
Oh, yeah. The whole crew. Everybody who works here. The whole family, essentially.
Email.
Yeah. He-Man. He-Mail. Head to speakpipe.com/pureboys and leave us a voicemail. We didn't have any voicemails this week. I'm going to be honest, that's probably the last two we're ever going to get, but maybe we'll get more. I don't know. We'll see. But if you want to leave us a voicemail and Trent reading a John Voight transcription, then feel free. Do your best John Voight impression, too. Why not? He's got a distinct voice.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, why not?
I pressed a button on my keyboard, and now I'm getting trailer audio from JL Ranch.
Oh, damn. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Actually, it was a commercial. I lied.
Oh, well, that's less awesome. Hey, what did you think of 2016's JL Family Ranch?
I loved it. Mm. As soon as I found out that this was a Hallmark production and that it was rated G, I knew I was in for a family-friendly time, and I think everybody should get their whole family together and watch it on the biggest screen they have, because it is quite the delight. What did you think?
Oh, rent out a movie theater and watch JL Family Ranch. Torrent it, take your torrent to your local theater and get them to play it on the big screen, because that's where this movie belongs. Not on your television screens, on the biggest screen. Maybe rent out an IMAX if you can, and see John Voight 75 feet tall. That's what you really want.
Yeah, you need to rent out an IMAX for this, which is what we did.
Yeah.
We got our closest 50 friends, a bunch of popcorn, and a couple of ladies of the evening to do some dancing on the side.
Of course. Gotta put on a show. Wine, wine makes me sleepy, I've realized. Oh, boy.
You just want to go to bed right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I'm tired. We should just end this so I can take a quick nap. Quick cat nap.
Well, I gotta tell you, before we did this, I was outside on my deck reading my Star Trek book and just enjoying the most nappiest time in the world. Mm. And what brought me here today was friendship.
Hey, well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you. And before this, I was eating spanakopita that I made last night, and just, you know, living life. Not reading. I'm not some effing nerd. I don't read books. But, you know, I watch movies called JL Family Ranch.
Did you, before we get back to the movie, because that's what we're here to talk about, of course.
Yeah, of course.
You get a lot of dill in that spanakopita? You shove a lot of dill?
It's got to be dilled to the gills, my dude.
It truly does. I think we need more dill in our Haitian cuisine, and I'll take that to my grave.
The recipe even calls for a little bit of cheddar cheese crumbled up in that spanakopita, which is adds a nice little flavor, even though I'm kind of allergic to cheddar cheese. Doesn't matter, though. I still eat it. God can't stop me.
You're kind of allergic to all cheddars?
I think so. Whenever I eat cheddar cheese, even if it's like a little bit of cheddar cheese, my face gets really hot. But I don't get like any swelling. Yeah. My throat doesn't close. It's not that bad. But like my face gets hot. And so to me, that seems like that's an allergic reaction, because nothing else that I eat does that to me. Even other cheeses don't do that to me. Just orange, sharp cheddar or old cheddar or medium cheddar, whatever.
That's very interesting. I feel the same way when I drink alcohol. So I'm pretty sure I'm allergic a little bit to alcohol. And my whole family tree is, even though they're drunks.
It's insane thinking that because we were the OG's original men, God didn't make us perfect, though. He still gave us these BS garbage allergies. It's embarrassing to think that, you know, I get why God wiped the world out in a flood, because, brah, you screwed up with the first ones. What are you doing?
Well, we were too perfect, and we're the only ones that survived, except for that other couple that banged each other into the society you see today.
It's weird to think that, like, yeah, all humanity is just incest. We're all just incest babies from Noah and his daughters, who we just, I guess, put the boots to.
Yeah, well, that's where Plow Your Field comes from.
Hey, amen to that, brother. That's a real pillar of salt, if you know what I mean.
It truly is. Were you surprised that this movie incorporated wolves that John Voight can kill?
Man, I love that. Like, one of the first lines we get in this movie is them being like, "Don't kill the wolves, John Voight," and him being like, "I'll kill ya! I'll kill those wolves!" Like, he's got such bloodlust for wolves, and I love it.
Yeah, it was such a beautiful connection between both movies, and I feel like we're seeing true John Voight in these films.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the wolves come back. Like, not the wolves themselves, but the concept of murdering them definitely comes back in the movie later on. And even John Voight's like, yeah, we should just kill them. Ugh, I would love nothing more than to hang a wolf head on my wall.
Yeah, it comes up in the middle when they're having, like, a meeting with the counselors and the rest of the town. Of and then it comes up at the end where he, like, just wants to murder wolves. He's got a lot of bloodlust that makes sense at the end, I guess.
Yeah.
The way it ends, but you don't see it coming.
The end of this movie is wild. And not at all where I was expecting the movie to go. And just so, what a beautiful surprise. This guy just domed a glass of wine. He just finished his first glass of wine.
First glass of wine. I'm definitely going to have another. You're set up with so many characters and so many storylines in this movie. One is John Voight's daughter, who wants to set up an Airbnb the ranch to get some money.
Oh, you mean played by Baby Falkers and Christmas Angels Terry Polo?
That's the very same.
Love her.
I think it's a good idea to have the Airbnb at the ranch and make a little extra money. You're getting a ranch that is going under and is about to be bankrupt. Which is how 90% of these movies start.
Yeah, but this movie, like, this movie, the first line is like, "Dad, the ranch is going to get shut down if we don't make some money." Like, it starts like pedal to the metal. The ranch is in trouble, and there's no BS. There's no like city girl figuring things out before she goes out to no. The ranch is in trouble. As soon as the credits stop, the ranch is in trouble. And I appreciated this movie for not wasting any of our time, except for the storyline with the cool uncle who lives in the Airstream trailer. That guy's story was a complete waste of time. But, you know, I guess everybody's got to have a story in these movies.
Yeah, I think I blacked out that storyline completely.
The guy with the gambling addiction?
In my viewing.
The gambling addict who got beaten up in an alleyway. You remember him.
Oh, yeah, the cool guy, Chill. He's John Boyd's son.
Yeah, he lives in an Airstream trailer. He rides a motorcycle. He's an alcoholic who's 13 months sober, who's a bartender at a bar, which seems like a bad call, but who am I to judge this man? Only God can judge this man.
Well, you need to have a good-looking white male character, and you have to have him be a bit of a mess and shitty to people, or else you don't have a movie.
Exactly. And I'll tell you who isn't the good-looking white male in this movie. Terrence, or whatever the little dingus who comes to work on the farm with his absolutely awful cowboy hat that's like folded down in the back. I hated that character. He was my least favorite character in maybe any of the movies we've ever watched.
He's absolutely dumb. He's working for Tap, the bad guy played by James Caan.
James Caan.
And James Caan is trying to take down John Voight's enterprise by stealing a little parcel of land that has a well on it.
Yeah, everyone's really upset about that. But and I guess I see, like, sure, if the water goes away, then fine, that's bad. But everyone's like, if we lose that parcel of land, we're going to lose the ranch. And it's like, you have so much more ranch, though. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
so much more.
This ranch is absolutely gorgeous. The land is beautiful. The buildings are robust and maintained by a plethora of Mexican hands.
Oh, including not Mexican Stephen Bauer. Love on the Rock Stephen Bauer.
Who do you think he's playing ethnically?
Well, he's supposed to be playing Mexican, but he is not Mexican. Even the way he talks when you first meet him, he's like, hey, John Voight. And then he kind of drops that, like, almost immediately. But at first you go, oh, wow, he's really just going to put on a whole affectation, huh? And then that goes away. The director was like, yeah, don't do that, actually. You're not, that's not the right call.
Yeah, they reel him in hard. He's quite a character throughout this movie and dedicated to John Voight no matter what. Like, his second man.
For real, yeah. He's ride or die for John Voight, and I don't blame him. He's looking handsome. He's clearly hasn't been ravaged by alcohol or drug abuse yet. So this is like a few years before Love on the Rock when things weren't going well for him.
Yeah, and speaking of a couple years before disaster, John Voight does not have his limp.
Incorrect. John Voight 100% has his limp.
It's not as bad, though.
Well, it's not as bad.
It's not as clear.
It's 2 years before Orphan Horse, so he's got the limp, but it's less pronounced. But it is still there. He lumbers around like a broken old, like the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz.
And the director of this probably shot around it a little bit better than Orphan Horse, I would assume. Well, because they don't try to hide it whatsoever.
No, I think the director of this was like, we'll just like, we're not, like, Orphan Horse, they incorporated it into his character, right? Orphan kicked him in the hip and busted his hip, and that's why he has the limp in that movie. In this movie, they're like, yeah, you're still like a young, spry guy. Like, just keep going. You're good.
Oh, yeah. But, I would say James Caan looks a little bit worse throughout this movie.
Yeah, when the two of them are at, like, when they're like kind of getting into it at the town meeting, and you think, and that, like, people are like, oh, are you guys gonna fight? All I wanted was to see those two octogenarians just fist fight in the city council. That would have been beautiful to watch them just shove each other and just grab each other's jackets and shake. Would have been great.
Yeah, I think it would have been less them shoving each other or hitting each other, but like them holding each other up and trying not to fall and break their hips, because they really looked like they were moving around roughly, which it happens when you age.
Yeah.
No knock on them, no. But they were showing it.
Two Frank D'Angelo alumni in this movie, James Caan and Stephen Bauer, and I was thrilled to see them both. Two, well, I guess Stephen Bauer is in Real Gangsters, and James Caan is, of course, a cast member of Sicilian Vampire. And it was just, like, such a thrill for me to see this, like, you know, 2 degrees of separation from Pure Boys Podcast and Frank D'Angelo. It was great. We love you.
Yeah, makes you all warm in your fuzzy bits. Was Stephen Bauer in Love on the Rock?
He was, yeah. Of course he was. Yeah, he was the villain, I think, in that movie?
One of the villains. Certainly not John Lovett's style villain.
No.
But also remote and at one location filming.
Yeah, drunk on his veranda. Yeah, absolutely.
Drunk on love on the rock.
Of course, he's love on the rock, of course. What do we got here? It's just a great, this is just such a great movie. And there's so much going on that, like, where do we even start? James Caan has a Jeep that's covered in mud and hay. Just, I've never seen a Jeep more covered in mud and hay than James Caan's. It's like they just, it's like someone splashed it. It's like it rolled, and then they rolled it back over and were like, good enough, that's fine.
Well, I feel like James Caan had a lot of little touches that he made sure he added throughout the movie. Like, hey, make my Jeep real muddy. That's a good choice. And allowing him to ride in on a horse during the end scene. That was definitely his choice for sure.
Especially knowing that he would have had to ride that horse from his ranch. So, like,
yeah.
It's like four in the, it's like 5 in the morning when the ending of the movie happens. Like, the sun is just coming up. And yet, he must have started riding at, like, 3:30. Like, it would have taken him so long to ride his horse to this other ranch. We don't know where he lives. We don't know where his property is. Good God.
He could be on the other side of town. He could be, like, a two-hour horse ride away. They would have had to probably bring that horse in a trailer and then get it out and then have him get on it.
Right, it's all just for show. He didn't actually ride his horse there. It's just a show horse. Speaking of town, though, did you notice that the town in this movie is the exact same town as the one in Orphan Horse?
No way. Do you think this is where John Voight lives full-time?
Maybe. I'd be shocked to find out that wasn't the case. This is LaGrange, Kentucky. That's where this movie was filmed.
Was it weird that there was, like, two scenes happening in winter and then the rest, it was just, like, fall or spring?
Yeah, the time is a fickle mistress in this movie. Like, the ending sequence starts at dawn, wraps up in about 10 minutes, and then it's evening, and then the sun is going down. And you're like, whoa, what happened for the last, like, 18 hours? Where was everybody?
And I thought, like, a lot of these country movies seem to, like, want to go towards winter. Like, they're veering towards winter the whole time so they can wrap up at Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that's what we were getting in this movie. But it was just a couple of scenes where they're riding in the snow.
Like, nothing about this movie seems like winter, except there's just, like, icicles in one scene. You go, well, where'd these icicles come from? These didn't form overnight. And there's... I didn't see any snow. Was there snow on the ground in scenes?
No, I feel like they had to do, like, reshoots or something like that, and it was just a half a year out or, like, 3 months out, and they just had to get a couple of scenes.
We got
to
get some pickups. Sorry, guys, you missed it. We didn't get these shots we needed. We didn't get these great shots of Terry Polo and Melanie Griffith and James Caan.
Well, Hallmark was probably really on their ass to get this right since they paid for so many stars in this movie.
You're a big Hallmark guy. You love the Hallmark movies. How does this compare to some of your favorites from the Hallmark Channel?
I would have to say it's pretty much the exact same. The storyline seems like it's going to be more devious and naughty, and then it just doesn't. The acting is great in all these Hallmark movies, and the direction is great. This seemed like it was less rushed. Like, the other Hallmark movies seem like they're shot in a week tops, but this movie seemed like it had, like, a month of good shooting, and, like, the script and everything seemed competent, so a little bit more so than your standard Hallmark affair.
That's fair. I do agree that, like, everyone seemed to do a good job in this movie. And the acting was, like, good enough. John Voight actually gives a pretty good performance in this movie as, like, nice old man who also just takes a gun everywhere. Guns are very prevalent in this movie.
I don't know if I want to say subtle, but it definitely builds throughout the movie. There's more and more, we got to defend our property, this is our land type mentality.
Yeah.
And we got the guns to show it. And it just, like, builds and builds and builds.
Until the ending when you go, like, oh, wow, well, you want to talk about a well-armed militia. They're a well-regulated militia. There they are.
D- Did you think this movie was going in a different direction at any point? Like, did you think there was going to be a bigger shock at the end or a different twist?
I kind of thought that everyone would become friends by the end of the movie. And while that doesn't exactly happen, like John Voight and James Caan, who hate each other, the Landenbergs and the Caans, I don't know, I can't remember what Tap Caan is his name or whatever.
Capulets, like, and the Montagues.
Exactly. 100% Romeo and Juliet. It's very weird how that's the case. But, like, they don't like each other by the end, but there is a moment where they're kind of just like, I respect you. Oh, I respect you. And they just kind of tip their hats and ride off on their horses, even though everyone's driving trucks. So, I don't know. I guess I was expecting, like, yeah, a little more love from everybody by the end. But when we find out why the families hate each other, not really. I don't know. Everyone's kind of a bozo in this movie. The feud between them is very stupid.
Terry Polo, the daughter of John Voight, yes, has a daughter that has no father. The father is a mystery. I thought either James Caan or John Voight was going to be the father. Like, I thought there was something, like, very crazy going on.
Well, that would have been horrific if it turned out John Voight was the father. That would have been a very different movie if it was like, oh, and by the way, the reason why we don't talk about your father is that I'm your father. You slept with your daughter and had me? Yes, that's country life, and you can pry this gun out of my cold, dead hands before I stop sleeping with my daughters.
I did think it was obviously way too racy for a Hallmark movie, yeah, but there's a lot of moments of, like, I know what you did. If you don't let me get away with taking your land, I'm going to tell everybody what you did. And I was like, okay, something's going on.
You know, I do like that Lenny's whole, Lenny! I love that her whole shtick is just like, I need to know who my dad is, and I'm going to ruin every family occasion until I find out who my dad is. Like, they're having, like, a nice dinner together, and everyone's just, like, having fun and making jokes, and then Lenny just looks at her mom and goes, I probably get take that for after my father. What do you think, Ma? Am I stubborn like him? It was like, okay, well, this is neither the time nor the place to, like, get into your mom's business about your dad. Like, please, just let us enjoy this family dinner. There's like 27 of us.
She's going off and causing mayhem to find her father this whole movie.
Yeah.
As soon as everything's kind of settled, or you think it's going to go in another direction, she blows up and drives off into the sunset to try to figure out what's going on.
I love that after that dinner sequence, her and her aunt are doing the dishes, and her aunt goes, look, I know it's none of my business. And she goes, yeah, you're right. It's not your business. And it's like, okay, well, you brought it up at supper. Like, nobody brought it up. You're the one who's throwing it in everyone's face. So you're making it all of our business.
And it is, because we're family.
Family. Yeah, of course. And also, John Voight is a former soldier. Thank you for your service. Stephen Bauer is a former soldier. Thank you for your service in these movies.
Of course. Now, Terry Polo's idea to save the ranch is to have an Airbnb.
Smart.
Her sister wants to sell a parcel of land to make the money. So immediately you should be more suspicious of the person that is trying to sell a piece of land. But you're not, because Terry Polo is more of a part of this movie.
Right, but, like, also, both are very good ideas. Like, if you need to pay off the bank quickly, opening a B&B is not going to do that. That's a long-term solution. Selling a parcel of land will get you that money to pay off the bank, and then you can open an Airbnb or a B&B and just ride it out from there. But, like, Terry Polo, you're thinking too long-term. We need short-term solutions.
I think just take both of the ideas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sell a scrap of land that you're not using. Give half of it to the bank and then use half of it to Airbnb, depending on what the debt is. It seems like they're in bad trouble at the start of this movie, and that's not really addressed throughout the rest of this movie.
There's a lot of plot threads that are, like, initiated and then just kind of, like, dropped. Like that one, the cool uncle's, like, gambling debts or something. We don't really ever find out what happened with the cool uncle. He just has shady characters threatening him, and then they beat him up. And then that's the end of that. We never see those guys again. Who cares?
Yeah, his redemption or his ending of his story is him not, like, stealing the paperwork or the all the economic stuff of the ranch. But you don't find out, like, who he owes the money to, whether he's going to live, or, like, how he's going to deal with this situation whatsoever. He's just kind of beat up at the end and decides to help his family.
Well, and also, what were those gangsters going to do with the financial records from the ranch? Like, what? Well, how does that help them? How is that, like, oh, tell us, what kind of debts does the ranch have? Why? What do you, like, what are you going to do with that information? Legitimately, are you, yeah. You can't extort them. They don't, what are you doing?
Yeah, maybe they were using it as, like, another way to extort them and get them through this process where TAP can get the land. But, like, the process of, you know, stealing the deed and creating the forgery in the FBI database or whatever it is, the federal database,
the federal
has
bureau
already been put in motion. There's no adding or subtracting to it at this point.
No, the Federal Homeland Bureau is what they're called, which I don't think is a thing. That doesn't.
Yeah.
Certainly, they don't have black jackets with FHB written on the back of them.
They might. I do like how this movie puts the federal government in a certain light. It really makes them out to be land stealing ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah, we can definitely tell the political ideologies of the writer of this movie based on how things are portrayed in this movie. They love the Second Amendment. They love the hell out of it, and they will fight to the death to defend it.
Yes, they truly will. The first time I saw the rated G movie logo was this start of the scene where John Voight's sitting in a room with a shotgun and threatening a federal agent.
Loading a gun in a man's face, being like, you better give us the information that we want. And I'm like, oh, this is crossing lines that you can't uncross, boys. Like, that's jail time right there. That's threatening a government official with a firearm. You can't just, and you broke into his house to do it. You can't do that and get away with it.
And they're like laughing about it and stuff, like before and after. They feel really jovial about what they've just done, and they've just like threatened a man's life and made him think that he was going to get shot to death unless they got the answers they seeked. Which he was a bad guy, blah blah blah, but
they committed a federal offense and also stole that guy's gun. They stole his pistol.
Yeah, and like I get it thematically, because like you want your main character to maybe have doubts about him. Like, maybe he's not the good guy. Maybe he did steal the deed or, like, lease it. But, like, it's not cool.
Well, and also, you know James Caan is the villain of this movie because he wears a black cowboy hat. And everybody else wears white cowboy hats or non-black cowboy hats. It's simple. It's simple telegraphing.
Yeah, there is one scene where he's wearing a black cowboy hat and a black jacket. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, there's the nail on the head. But then it's a little bit more subtle throughout the rest of the film because he's only wearing the black hat.
That's true. He's half a villain. And that's why I think in the next one, he's going to be friends with the family. Like, everyone's going to love each other. Everything's going to be great now is what they should have said at the end of this movie.
Everything's going to be great now for sure. Is James Caan in the next movie?
Oh, yeah. He's on the poster for the next movie.
Jesus. I was thinking about the next movie so much when I was watching this film. I don't have any idea what they were going to do, but I like watching this, I felt like it was a hit for Hallmark. Like they hit a home run doing this.
Maybe, yeah, for a certain crowd, they would have loved this movie. I think the next one is a Christmas movie, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's just going to be a nice, heartwarming Christmas movie where all the families come together and they celebrate a lovely Christmas. Maybe they all sing a nice Christmas tune at the end. Stephen Bauer leads them on his guitar in a Mexican Christmas song. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Well, it does have an alternate title. So I think there's a wedding involved.
Oh, sure. Of course.
So maybe Wedding Christmas. That sounds about right.
Yeah, maybe it's just Wedding Crashers 2 is what they call it. And James Caan and John Voight crash Terry Polo in the sheriff's wedding and try to bang as many of the sliz that's there.
Well, they have been trying to make Wedding Crashers 2, and they just haven't found the right duo to replace Mr. Olsen and Mr. whatever his name
Vaughn.
Is.
Vaughn. The Lost World Jurassic Parks, Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, and these guys are the ones to do it. John Voight and James Caan.
I don't disagree. I would love to see a Wedding Crashers. I would love to see a Wedding Crashers-style movie where James Caan and John Voight go out and try to get their tips wet just one last time, and they just like go out and they're just waving it around at anyone on the street.
Yeah, it's got to be a tough slog for those hips and the muscles that support those hips, because they're not spring chickens anymore, and they probably say that a lot in their movie.
But here's the thing, though: it's a make it a Western and just have it being about them loving just cowgirl position, and it's all about them just loving bareback and cowgirls. Perfect.
Yeah, and I see the movie, I see everything about it, but I don't know who plays the Will Ferrell character. It has to be one of their contemporaries, of course.
Ooh, yeah, of course. God, that's tough. Maybe
obviously, I would pick James Gandolfini if he were still alive. Oh,
we miss you, James. We miss you, King. Raven Power King.
Yeah, he's the obvious choice, I think. But,
yeah, I mean, maybe like Richard Dreyfuss, get him out of retirement. That could be fun. No, Gene Hackman. That's who it's got to be. Get him out of retirement. Gene Hackman as the Will Ferrell. That's it right there.
Yeah, I do put Gene Hackman basically in the exact same memory file of my brain as James Caan and John Voight, for sure. They both have that like square face situation going on. They're very much of the same age. Mm-hmm. It probably went out for the same roles for years.
Oh, yeah. Hell, make it a sequel to Enemy of the State. Tie that into there somehow. Make him the same character he played in Enemy of the State. That's all I'm saying.
That's all we're saying. That's all we want. PureFlix, do it up. We want some money as well for that idea.
Yeah, we want a sex comedy starring James Caan and John Voight and whoever the third guy was. Who was it?
James Caan, yeah. John Voight, and Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman, that's what it is. Yeah, I kept thinking James Gandolfini. I was like, it's not Gandolfini. That was our first choice.
Gene Hackman must have got a lot of his first roles due to his name. That is just, it's filled with energy.
Well, his name is probably Gene Rosenbaum, and he changed it to Hackman or something like, you know.
Hackman.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? Throw Andy Garcia in there, too. That guy loves getting sliz in movies. That guy's fingers stink all the time in whatever movie he's in.
There does need to be more smelling fingers in these raunchy comedies.
Agreed.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, in these Hallmark movies. There needs to be more smelling fingers in these Hallmark... A lot of guys just running their fingers under their nose in these Hallmark movies.
Hey, JL Family Ranch 2, you never know what you're going to get, and good he got it.
Exactly. JL Family Ranch 2, how do my fingers smell? And it's just Andy Garcia with both fingers up his nose.
Why don't they have a geriatric Ocean's 11, like with all these guys? I mean, the Expendables, you could argue it's that, but...
Mm-hmm, yeah, Las Vegas, you could argue, is that as well.
I literally saw Las Vegas for the first time, and I was like, yeah! I really got excited for Las Vegas. I love those movies where old actors get together and... do a plot to crime.
Hell yeah. You know, I love movies made for like seniors or like boomers or whatever, right? Like my mom and I went to go see, I think it was called The Book Club, where like a bunch of old women in their book club read 50 Shades of Grey and it reawakens all their sexual prowess. I think Melanie Griffith is actually in that movie, and like Mary Steenburgen, Andy Garcia, Don Johnson. It's just a hell of a cast. And I remember my mom and I went to go see that in theaters and just like loving it. Like, it's just this sexual romp. Craig T. Nelson is in it. He plays Mary Steenburgen's husband. It's like, it's great. Book Club is awesome. And that's right up my alley for movies.
I think I might have to propose watching that to the wife, because I also like those version of movies. There's something so warming. I think it's because we were young when these guys were like prolific in their careers.
Oh, yeah.
So we see them as like parental units or some effed up thing like that. But I'm no nerd.
No, you want to see your parents get laid, bro. That's what this is all about.
How amazing is Melanie Griffin's reveal that she like sold out
yeah, when
John Voight.
When John Voight is like, why did you do it? Why did you destroy my family? And she goes, for the commission. And then just leaves the room. And he's just like, oh, crap. Okay, my former lover. Oh, crap.
Well, she's too hot, and John Voight knows it. So she just like stares him right in the face and says, yeah, I'm remodeling my house, and I took a bunch of money for you, and I'm set for life now. And I'm glad I destroyed your life because I want the money.
Yeah.
And all he does is tips his hat to her.
Hey, God bless the broken road, you know, he says. You know, I love that Melanie Griffin's got a lot of great scenes in this movie. She's only in it a little bit. She's a special guest appearance in the credits. But the scene where her and James Caan are on the phone together is maybe my favorite scene in the movie. Because James Caan is just laying on his couch, talking on his cell phone, half asleep. Like, talking so, like, tiredly that his words are slurred. And he's just like, yeah, you better watch that mouth of yours and keep your mouth shut about this whole thing. Like, he's just half cut and half asleep, much like myself. And I just love him for it. Why not?
Yeah, and Melanie Griffith wants that money, so she's going to keep her mouth shut.
Yeah.
You can see it in her eyes that she feels a little bit bad, but she felt more bad in that movie than when she gets confronted with John Boyd, and she's like, yeah, you know what? I like doing that. I'm okay.
Yeah, I get off on stealing your money, John Voight. And he goes, no, my money!
Well, when you're spurred by your ex-lover for, I'm assuming he dumped her for the waitress at the cafe because she was much younger and gave much better neck rubs at the cafe.
Oh yeah, she's the catch in this movie. Not Melanie Griffin. Melanie Griffin or Griffith, whatever the hell her name is. She's a conniving evil beep, you know, that kind of thing. So you don't want to stick with her. She's good when she's young. Good from behind, but or good from far, but far from good.
Well, that's why Melanie Griffith probably signs up for the role, because she's like, yeah, I get to be the bad person? Sure, why not? And I just get away with it?
Yeah, and her justification...
Why not?
Her justification is, girls gotta eat.
Yeah. I love that line. It's so to the point. It's very in his face, and he doesn't do anything about it because he's a good country boy that would never hit a woman or do anything bad to a woman.
I don't know. I was kind of expecting John Voight to just choke her in that scene. And then he's just going to grab her by the throat and go, you've ruined my family and my ranch!
Well, there probably should have been something other than mutual respect and a hat tip and then just leaving.
I don't know. Oh, man. So many reveals in this movie. Should we talk about why James Caan, like, hates John Voight in this movie?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, it's old as time, the feud.
Yeah, I guess like the grandpa, James Caan's grandpa got the land. He sold the land to the government, and then John Voight's grandpa bought the land from the government. But James Caan's like acting like John Voight's grandpa stole the land, but he bought it from the government. So like the government, much like all things, is the real villain.
Oh yeah, they're the ones that end up in the standoff at the end. They're the army that's gonna come and try to take that land. They create a bunch of false documents and delete the old deed. They're the bad guys, and they're the ones you need to take up arms, and they're the reason why you should be stocking guns.
Mm-hmm. Not just deleting documents, shredding old deeds from 110 years ago or whatever. That's seems wildly inappropriate. Who are we to decide? That's the trust in the government.
And James Caan knows all this. He must know all this because he did all the deed swapping and the bribing and like helped the government out to like get this land. But he's telling John Voight to his face that like that land is his and his family's right when he knows it isn't.
No, he's stealing it from. He's doing the thing he's claiming John Voight's grandpa did to him. He's literally doing the exact same thing.
When he knows that it's not that way at all. That's absolutely insane.
That's why he wears the black cowboy hat. He's a villain.
Yeah, and that's why his name is Tap.
Tap. Tap. What kind of name is that? Hey, I'm James Caan, but you can call me Tap.
Maybe that's one of the James Caan initiatives to the director of this, is that maybe? My name's got to be Tap. It makes sense.
I mean, I love when actors play characters who have the same first name as them. Like, John Voight's character's name in this movie is John, and I love that. Yeah. I love that they're just like, he can't be bothered to think of himself as anybody else, so just call him John, and we'll just write it into the script.
Did it upset you that John is famously a J-O-N, and his character in this movie is J-O-H-N?
Wow,
like, why do that?
Why do that? I didn't know that, and I feel sick. Maybe it's the wine I chugged, but I feel sick.
Yeah, you haven't had any wine in a little while.
I'm sorry.
Are you feeling okay?
I'm feeling great. I'm almost on my second glass. I'm loving it. See, this is what I mean. You slam the first glass, you get a nice buzz for the rest of the movie, and then you just kind of sip on a second glass, and you just keep that buzz alive.
Well, much like this movie being just an older version of Romeo and Juliet, our wine-chugging competition that we're not having is much like the tortoise and the hare. Because I'm on my third glass, and I've been tortoising it up like crazy.
Damn, doggy, good for you. Good on ya.
Yeah, grape for me.
Yeah, grape for you, yeah. Lenny, her dad is James Caan's son in this movie. But we never know what happened. We're trying to figure out what happened to him, because he's not in the movie. And everyone's like, where's Caleb? Where's Caleb? What happened to Caleb? And then we find out that James Caan murdered him?
We definitely know that James Caan shot him, and it's implied that he murdered him, and nobody found out.
So, Caleb, a.k.a. James Caan's son, and Terry Polo, a.k.a. John Voight's daughter, they were like a couple, and they were loving each other, but John Voight was like, I don't want this kid around here. I don't want their blood in our house. And so he kicked him out and like made him go home. And then James Caan got it in his head that John Voight was going to show up at his house and, like, trespass. So he got his shotgun and sat on the porch waiting for him in the dark. And then he saw a person in his yard who he just assumed was John Voight. And then he just shot that person. And then it turned out it was his son. And then that's why he hates John Voight so much. Beyond him, quote-unquote, stealing his grandpa's land, he blames John Voight for him murdering his own son. Like, you're an idiot, James Caan. You murdered your son. Nobody else did. John Voight didn't say, I'm going to trespass on your property. He just kicked your son out of his house, and then you murdered him.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the Federal Bureau of Home Security or whatever should take all these people's land and sell it to McDonald's or something.
Agreed. I would love to see a giant, just so many parcels of land turned into McDonald's.
And cattle ranches.
Of course, yeah. It's crazy to me that James Caan murdered his son. Nothing is ever, like, somehow that just got swept under the rug. Like, the community didn't find out. His son's lover, Terry Polo, didn't find out. Nobody found out that he was murdered by his dad. What did they tell people happened to Caleb? He was a part of the community.
So I guess the thing that James Caan knew John Voight did was not show up to get murdered like he was supposed to, and he shot his son.
Yeah. Yeah, he's mad because he murdered his son instead of the man he thought was going to be John Voight for some reason.
Yeah, and so John Voight literally never did anything wrong or anything to deserve this taking of property. But James Caan, he'll do what he wants.
He's a psychopath. He's an absolute psychopath in this. Like, when Lenny goes to visit him, and she, like, interrupts his dinner and just walks up to him and goes, I'm your granddaughter. And he goes, like, I don't care. Get away from me. I don't want to know you. And she's crying, and she turns to leave, and he goes, wait, hold on. And he just stops and looks at her for, like, a minute, and then goes, okay, you can leave. And she's like, he's a psychopath.
Yeah, she's probably at the lowest moment in her entire life.
Oh, yeah.
She's finally figured out who her father is. Confronts her grandfather and is basically told, I don't care, you're collateral damage, get out of here. Oh no, stop. And you can go.
Yeah, and now you can go.
Okay.
Thanks, cool.
The motivations for this movie and the problems and the solutions to those problems are basically non-existent throughout this whole thing.
Yeah, it's James Caan being a psychopath and wearing a black cowboy hat. Wear a pink cowboy hat, bro. That's where it's at. And John Voight just being like, why are you doing this to me? Like, I hate you because you hate me, and you hate me for no reason. So I guess we hate each other for no reason.
And John Voight is brought off as this, like, smarter, more respectable man in the community.
Tap.
And you see him under this duress, but he's going to figure it out. But the way he figures it out is threatens to kill a federal agent.
Yeah, I like when he approaches Stephen Bauer and he's like, hey, let's go do something crazy. And you're like, oh, are you a freshman? Are you listening to some I Love College? Do something crazy. But no, what he means is, let's take our rifles and break into a federal agent's house and just hold him at gunpoint and threaten him with death by murder by guns.
It definitely does work. And you do see why these people should be the backbone of our community and our society.
Of course.
And they should decide the rules.
Because the law used to be based on logic, and now it's not like that anymore, says John Boyd. No, sorry. The law should be based on common sense. That's what he says. The law should be based on common sense. Now it's not about that anymore.
Which you really understand he's talking about killing wolves. Like, that's really what he's thinking about this whole time, this whole movie. His motivation is to kill a bunch of wolves.
But he thinks about everyone who's against him as a wolf. And he's just willing to just gun down anyone and go, oh, the wolves were at the door, Your Honor. And I had to shoot James Caan because he wanted to shoot me 20 years ago. And now I shot him 20 years later and it balanced everything out.
I kind of wish that James Caan's story or his motivation for killing his father would have been that, like, wolves broke in, and he thought it was a wolf, but it was his own son.
I sat there in the dark with my shotgun, and I thought I saw a wolf walking through the yard, and it was just my son on his hands and knees looking for his contact lens, and I shot him down. I gunned him down in my own yard. I buried him out back, and then got the government to shred the documents of his existence so nobody even knows Caleb existed.
And at that point, John Voight's in a pickle because he loves shooting wolves.
Oh, yeah.
So he doesn't know what to do because he wants to support James Caan's murdering of wolves.
Also, James Caan has a son. He's got another son in this movie. The guy with the sideburns. That's also his son. So did that guy not go, what happened to my brother? Where did my brother go? Did you murder him thinking he was John Voight, Dad?
He probably helped cover it up. Now he's the heir to the throne, so...
That's true.
Who knows? Maybe he actually pulled the trigger.
Yeah, maybe it was his son that shot him. It was like a Grassy Knoll situation. They all thought that... James Caan thought he murdered his son, but it turned out his son murdered his brother. And that's how it really played out.
Yeah, the other son was obviously also there and ready to murder.
Yeah, his son's head went back into the left, and that's just how it went.
That's just how it went. Should we talk about this crazy ending insane movie?
Yes. So, I don't know, I guess the government and James Caan are coming to seize the land and seize the land with the water pump on it. And John Voight's like, we can't let them do that. So him and Stephen Bauer load up their guns and they drive out there to stop the government.
Yes, there is a 0 hour. There is this final moment between... John Voight, his land, and the federal government. He starts it by asking for help from the fellow community.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, this is going to be a call to action scene, and we're going to see everybody, you know, get behind him. But they'd go, nah.
Yeah, they all go, nah.
No.
Nah, we've got better things to do than get murdered trying to protect your stupid land from the government.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I guess thanks for coming.
Enjoy the free cookies, I guess.
They should have just cut there instead of having him, like, look sad.
Like, the movie should have ended there with everyone going, nah, we won't stand by you, John Voight. Roll credits. Yeah. The end.
Yeah. Some text where, like, tap one.
Right, John Voight was murdered. Lost. He was murdered on his land by the Federal Homeland Bureau or whatever.
Yeah, he was crucified by the federal government, and this is why you should take up arms.
The Bureau of Homeland Management, that's what they're called.
I was surprised how many assault rifles they showed up with.
They got out of their vehicles holding guns. Like, the Bureau of Homeland Management gets out, and the main guy who's talking to them is just holding a pistol in his hand the whole time. Like, bro, that's not going to get you anywhere.
Well, nobody has started a standoff, but everybody wants to have a standoff. So everybody pulls up their guns. It turns out John Voight does get some help from some people. It doesn't seem like it's the same people from the meeting, though. But there's a lot of guns on each side.
Yeah, also the Department of Homeland or the Bureau of Homeland Management is not a real thing. That's a thing made up for this movie. It's not real. BHM doesn't exist.
Good for them.
People show up, like, slowly people start trickling in on their side. At one point, Lenny, the city girl, the city daughter, rolls up and goes, I don't actually own a firearm. I'm a firm believer in gun control. And you go like, oh, cock, libtard. The city made you soft, libtard. Get back to the country and learn how to use guns.
I can't believe they introduced that line. They could have just not done that whatsoever, but of course they had to show the city girl as the libtard that she is.
So that's what I mean. You can tell a lot about the guy's politics who wrote this movie based on, like, certain scenes in this movie. Like, that line especially says a lot about the guy who wrote this.
And so they're in a standoff.
Yep.
And then a helicopter starts swooping in.
Well,
and I was like, is this Gary Heaven? Is he going to come in and save the day?
Now let's show him how we do things in Kentucky. Now let's kick some ass. He wrote in saying that.
America, baby.
America, baby. I do love when the BHM is like, put down your weapons. And John Boyd goes, never. And you go, oh, it's a real call to action here. All right.
Cool.
Very cool.
Never. But, how's that?
And then when the townsfolk show up, they're straight out of, like, a freedom convoy. It's just, like, trucks with men holding flags in the back, and, like, everyone's holding guns. No one's practicing gun safety. All the barrels are just, like, sweeping past people's faces. A guy's just resting a shotgun on his shoulder, pointed directly behind him at the guy behind him. Like, nobody seems to understand or care how to use a gun properly.
I think this is a good moment, after that description, to remind everyone that this was sponsored by Hallmark.
Yeah.
Like, this is like a call to action to all those crappy things that have happened in the past couple of years where people have the convoy, all the crazy right-wing stuff that
January
has happened.
6th, the insurrection.
You see the possibility of that happening through this movie. And, like, added to all the other movies we've seen is like, oh, yeah, this was coming.
They'll never write, you know, when they write the history books on this, they're not going to include this movie, but they should, because there's plenty of little dog whistles all through it, and it's a beautiful thing. You know, I don't know how to use a gun. I believe in gun control. I'm a libtard cuck.
Yes. I just can't believe that there's this movie and probably a bunch of other movies throughout, like, the late 90s and 2000s that are just like getting all these people together under one banner to like do insane stuff with guns.
Yeah, man. Amerigeddon, same thing. This movie belongs in the same category as Amerigeddon, which is just like right-wing redneck jack-off fantasy about guns and a well-regulated militia and the Second Amendment and all of that bullshit, and just people just getting hard off of like fighting back against the government with their guns. You'll take my gun out of my cold dead hands. Like, it's 100% that mentality, and I love it. Great movie, loved it. Can't wait for the second one where they actually go to war, where they storm the Capitol in the second one. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I can't wait to see JL Ranch 3, The Capitol Insurrection.
It's going to be great. I can't wait for the eventual movie that's made starring Kevin Sorbo with The Capitol Insurrection. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. I love seeing visions of why we are where we are.
Mm-hmm. This is not a political podcast. This is not a political podcast. We don't believe in politics. We think, much like their Black Eyed Peas, let's get retarded. It's not, you know, no politics here. Everything we just said, that's all just locker room talk. Don't worry too much about that. Keep loving our show, Christian right-wing fanatics who love it, and keep on keeping on.
Keep your sticks on. Nice. We love.
Exactly, yeah. Hey, Steve, what did you think of J-Off Family Ranch?
Well, I definitely don't think it radicalized a bunch of middle America to do terrible things. I definitely don't think that because this is not a political podcast. And for that reason, I love this movie. I love the characterizations of almost every family member on both sides, the Capulets and the Montagues. Mm-hmm. And I love how this followed a, cowgirl summer ranch movie to a T. You had the girls, you had the fathers, you had the closing ranch. None of it got solved because the ranch is still going to go under. It's still having financial problems, even with this property of land. So they got to figure this out. Nothing was solved, but I give this 8 thumbs up. Adam, what did you think of this movie?
Right. We forgot to mention that, like, a judge from Washington grants them a stay on the land. So, yeah. Like, so they're going to, like they're going to go over everything again and check it all through and make sure it was legit and then sell the land to James Caan. So, like, all that happens is they get a little bit of time bought for them, and that's it. They're still going to lose everything, but, you know, pride out of my cold, dead hands, a well-regulated militia, and I think it was just a beautiful movie with good, wholesome family G-rated values, and you know, it's not a political podcast, so put down your weapons. Never. I loved it.
Haiti rules.
Haiti rules. I love you.
I love you.
We love you. Please.
The best thing about being a teen girl is getting to have a cowgirl summer. Oh, this is the Pure Boys, a Christian podcast, but God told us to change. So for the summer we're watching cowgirl flicks. Get in the action, feel the attraction. Horses and teens, oh, what a dream. Wanna be free, yeah, free to ride some horses.
Man,
I feel like a cowgirl.
This is our summer theme song.